I read some real life stories recently in a book that I just finished reading called You'll Get Through This by Max Lucado. He told stories of real people in real life who had real difficulties. For example, he told the story of a woman married for 20 years, three children. Her husband got up and left her, and they got divorced, and all the pain and turmoil of that. He also told a story of a man who got fired from his job. It was his own fault. Too many inappropriate comments, too many rude and crude remarks, and the boss had it, and he got fired. But he's got a wife and kids. He's unemployed. He's middle-aged, now looking for a new job. He also told the story of a teenager who needed to choose between the mother and the father because the parents were getting divorced for the second time. They'd gotten divorced when she was a child, now as a teenager, and all the pain and turmoil. Something you need to know about Max Lucado, obviously, if you know anything about Christian publishing, he's one of the best-selling authors of all time. But you need to know, too, that Max Lucado is a pastor with a pastor's heart, and these are people that he ministered to as a pastor, and he brought them words of counsel. Notice that he gave the same counsel to each one of these persons that were going through a hard time, a difficulty in life. And I quote Max Lucado. He wrote, and this is the words of advice or the counsel he gave to people going through a tough time. You'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick, but God will use this mess for good. In the meantime, don't be foolish or naive, but don't despair either. With God's help, you will get through this. You know, he gave this advice based on solid biblical ground. It's all based on the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. He went through incredible hardships, difficulty, and trouble in his life. But at the end of it all, God used it for good when it was all said and done. He didn't know when he was going through it, when he was in jail, when he was being persecuted. It was at the end that God brought it all together for his good and for his glory. And Max Lucado gave the same advice to both people. I'll say it again. You'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. But God will use this mess for good. In the meantime, don't be foolish or naive. But don't despair either. With God's help, you will get through this. You know, there was a group of people who lived a long, long time ago, people in the Old Testament who needed to hear these words of encouragement. They had been attacked and then defeated by a powerful army that had come into the Holy Land and infiltrated the holy city of Jerusalem and ransacked the Holy Temple. Then gathered God's people together, and they were forcibly removed from their homeland, and they were moved up north into a place called Babylon. And while they were up there in Babylon, they had lost hope. They wondered, had God given up on them? But God hadn't given up on them. God was at work, and they needed to hear a word of encouragement, just like Max Lucado. There's someone by the name of Isaiah, a great prophet, who brought to them words of encouragement when they were going through a difficult time. And that's what we're going to focus in today in the sermon, on the message today. The series is called Life-Changing Verses. Each week we're looking and honing and focusing in on one particular scripture verse. We're looking at the ones around it for sure. But there's one particular verse that I believe that if you understand it, and if you apply it to your life, it can make a significant difference. In fact, it can be life-changing for you. Instead of sermon notes, you can see each one of you should have received a scripture card. And if you take a look at the scripture card, you see today we've landed in the book of Isaiah. Let's take a look at the basics of Isaiah so we know where we've landed today. It's in the Old Testament. It's categorized as prophecy. These are predictions that were made about the future. The author, of course, is Isaiah, a prophet. A prophet simply is a spokesman for God. They speak on God's behalf. He's known as the messianic and major prophet. He was always telling the people, God's going to send a Messiah. God's going to send a deliverer. God's going to send a Savior to save you someday. And he gave details about that. And he's one of the major prophets in the Bible. He ministered between 740 and 681 before Jesus Christ was on the scene. And the purpose of the book is to expose the sin of God's people and call them back to God with a promise of restoration. And the focus of Isaiah, he reveals to us our need for a Savior, and he directs us to Messiah. And the awesome thing about these prophecies, these predictions, they all came true in Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen to that? It's just simply amazing. He makes these predictions 700 years before Jesus is even born, and they all come true in the life of Jesus. And this prophet is quoted more than any other in the New Testament. If you have your Bible, or you want to grab one of the pew Bibles there, you open up to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to take a look and study verses 27 to 31. I call your attention to Isaiah chapter 40, 27 to 31. Listen to the word of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 40. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary, he will not grow tired, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, verses 27 to 31. Well, the time has come for us to dig into the Word of God. This is a teaching time. So let's take a look at these verses. We're going to go verse by verse. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? The word Jacob and the word Israel, these are names, but they're directing us towards God's people at that time. So this is what God's people are saying, okay? Collectively, they're murmuring, they're complaining, they're saying, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. God's people complained to God. Here's a paraphrase of what they're saying. Oh, our God, he should be taking care of us. We're his people. God, he's overlooked us. Oh, God has given up on us. That's what they were saying. That's what they thought. That's the way they felt up there in Babylon when they had been uprooted and exiled after they were defeated. But notice how Isaiah questioned their complaint. Why do you complain? Why are you saying these things? Here's a question for you. Have you ever complained to God? You ever lodged a complaint to God about your life and stuff you're going through? You know, if you have, you're not alone. In fact, there are numerous examples in the Bible of people who complain to God about their situation. One of the most notable ones was King David, especially when he was on the run. Remember, he's being hunted down by Saul and the army of Saul. He's hiding in caves. He's hiding in the hill country. He's out in the desert, and he doesn't know what's going on. He's supposed to be king, but he's on the run. So he lodges these complaints to God over and over again. But one thing you need to note about King David when you read these Psalms of complaint, and there's a number of them, he always remembers the character of God at the end of the psalm. You'll see words like, yet I trust in your unfailing love. Oh God, you are my refuge. Oh God, you are my strength. You, oh God, are an ever-present help in trouble. He always remembers the character of God. Well, unfortunately, God's people here in Isaiah, they forgot about the character of God. They're complaining, but they don't remember the character of God. That's what he reminds them of when we get to verse 28. Here's a reminder to them. He's saying to them, Do you not know? Meaning, do you not remember? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. There are four attributes of God that Isaiah brings before the people. I'm going to actually read my notes of what I wrote down about these attributes. Notice what he reminds God's people of when they're going through a difficult time. He says this, reminds them. He reminds them of who God is. Number one, that God is eternal. The Lord is the everlasting God. This is what it means. God has no beginning. God has no end. God is not confined by time and space. God is working out His purpose, His way, in His own pace, in His own time, and He's not following our timeline. He's not following our timeline because God is eternal. Isaiah reminds God's people that God is the creator of all things. There is not a single square inch on planet Earth that God is not familiar with. Anywhere life may take us, God is familiar with it. For God's people, it was Babylon. They didn't think God was up in Babylon. They didn't think God was at work in their lives. But this is a reminder that God is everywhere because He's the creator of all things. For you and I, it means that God is with us wherever we go, whatever we're doing. God is right there. Because why? God is the creator of all things. The third attribute that Isaiah brings before the people is that God is always at work, meaning God does not grow tired, God does not grow weary, God does not need a break from His work, because God is forever fresh, God is energetic, God is alive, God is always at work. And the point to God's people at that time is, God is at work in Babylon, people, just like God is at work in your life. That is the message. Why? Because God is always at work. And the fourth attribute they bring to God is simply this. God is wise. He says His understanding no one can fathom. The fact is, God, the one and only true God, is the smartest, most intelligent, most knowledgeable, and wisest being, period. No human can fully understand who God is. We can't understand fully His ways or His purposes. Our job, our part, is to trust people. Am I right? Our job is to trust and to know He's the smartest, most knowledgeable being, period. He knows what's best, so we trust in Him because God is wise. This is a reminder that Isaiah brings not only to God's people back at that time, but to us. That we must remember who God is. Ray Ortlund writes, God is always right now, always right here, always at work, and always wise. And that changes everything. And if you think about it, everything that matters in life hinges or hangs on who God is. And the point that Isaiah is making to the people back then and God is making to us today is simply this. Remember who God is when you're going through difficulties. Remember who God is. We continue on in our study with Isaiah 40 and verse 29. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. This tells us that God shares His strength in our weakness. It tells us that God provides strength to make it through difficult times. Our job is to turn to God and rely on the strength that He's given us. And we must do so during the difficult times of life. That's the message of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. Now we take a look at Isaiah 40, 30. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. The point that he's trying to make is, even the strongest humans get tired when they rely on their own strength. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much you work out. It doesn't matter how strong you think your faith is. If you're going to turn to yourself during times of difficulty and focus and try to handle things on your own and do things in your own way, it's just not going to work. You're going to get tired. You're going to get weary. And eventually, if you keep that up, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. That's what's being taught by Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 30. And now we get to the main theme verse, which is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But in contrast, the contrast is those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. He says, those who hope in the Lord. That's those who confidently look to, those who rely on God for all they need, waiting for Him to respond. This word that's translated in English as hope has a waiting component to it. That's why some of your versions has those who wait upon the Lord. Those who confidently look to, you rely on God, but you're waiting for Him to respond. And it says that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll receive God's greater strength in order to prevail through the difficulties of life. The problem we have with this verse is we don't like to wait. Am I right? We don't like to wait. We live in an instant society. We want God to do things our way in our time. We think we know what's best. We may pray and expect the next day or the next month for God to fulfill what we've asked Him to do. We do that in our society. We put things in the microwave. We go to fast foods. I mean, the list goes on and on. We want things in an instant, do we not? We want it done. But according to this verse, those who wait for God to respond, relying on Him, those are the ones that will have their strength renewed. They're going to receive this greater strength, this greater power from God to prevail through the difficulties of life. God provides strength, but He does so in His timing and in His way. Isaiah, Warren Wiersbe writes, he says, if we trust in ourselves, we will faint and fall, but if we wait on the Lord by faith, we will receive strength for the journey. In Isaiah 40, 31, we now come to the second part of the verse. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. These are metaphors. You're not going to literally jump off of a building and fly. I think we all know that. But here's the message that Isaiah is giving in the form of these metaphors. By God's strength, from the beginning of the verse, you will soar on wings like eagles, meaning you'll be enabled to rise above the difficulties of life. As an eagle soars on the wind and effortlessly goes across the sky, you'll be able to rise above the difficulties of life. You'll be able to run and not grow weary, meaning you're going to be empowered by God to take on the difficulties of life without giving up. You'll be able to walk and not faint. You'll be able to keep on walking step by step as you trust in the Lord to help you through the difficulties of life. That's what Isaiah is teaching in Isaiah 40, verse 31. Warren Wiersbe writes, as we wait before God, He enables us to soar when there is a crisis, to run when challenges are many, and to walk faithfully in the day-to-day demands of life. You know, when I was living and working in New York City many years ago, I was a brand new Christian. And there's a lot of pressure in my job. I was working in the Wall Street area of New York City. I was a young man. I was a brand new Christian. I wasn't mature at all. And I was struggling with my new Christianity and trying to live my life. Well, I had a poster in my room. It was a picture of an eagle soaring across the sky, and below the eagle was Isaiah 40, 31. And I remember on a regular basis, I would just look at that poster and I would recite this verse, Isaiah 40, 31. And I'm here to testify that in many times in my life when I was going through difficulty, when I was hoping in the Lord, trusting and turning to Him, that He did provide the strength to actually make it through. I remember that this verse was so meaningful to me in the early part of my Christian life and development that I adopted this verse as my theme verse for my life. This is my theme verse. This is the verse that God had given me way back when I was a new Christian. And I'm reminded of it today, and I remember those days of trusting in God when I didn't know what I was supposed to do, how I was supposed to do it, and how God, by His grace and His mercy, brought me through step by step. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Well, how do you take a verse like this and actually apply it to your life? Well, I want to take you through the steps that I have used over the years. It took me a while to think it through this week, but once I thought about how I applied it, I thought I would bring it before you, and maybe this makes sense for you, because we want to not only be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. We want to live this out. How would you live out Isaiah 40, 31? Step number one, you've got to identify your need for God. If you don't think you need God to make it through with the difficulty in your life, this verse is not going to mean much to you at all, because you feel you can do it on your own. So you begin with saying, oh God, I need your help. And then number two, you turn to God in prayer. That's how we connect with God. Amen, people? We connect with God in prayer. Number three, you release the difficulty to God. God, I'm just the way that I do it. Oh God, I can't handle fill in the blank, but I know that you can handle it for me. So I'm turning to you. I'm bringing my difficulty over to you, and I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go to you, God. I can't handle what I'm going through, the problems I'm having, but I know that you can handle it. And you let go and you let God work in the situation. Then you got to rely on God's strength so that you can prevail. You can't just go off and do it on your own, but you got to walk with God and rely on His strength and wait patiently and actively for God to wait. When you wait on God, it's not a time of just sitting there doing nothing. No, you step out and you take one step in front of the other, and God provides the strength that you need to make it through the difficult time.